It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon, happy Friday, and welcome to the broadcast. House Republicans today took the wraps off what they hope is a blueprint to success leading up to the crucial midterm.
We've created a commitment to America.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy in suburban Pittsburgh this morning.
What the commitment is a plan. A plan for a new direction.
The commitment to America spells out GOP priorities going into the 2022 election, and it starts by tackling inflation.
You know, I ask everybody across this country, could you afford to give up 1 month of your wages? The struggle that you have is you're living through 12 months with only 11 months pay now because inflation is so high.
The commitment to America emphasizes not only fighting inflation, but also protecting life and strengthening the border. Speaking of the border, the backlash is being felt in the Big Apple big time. New York City's opened up emergency housing units now for thousands of migrants who are being bused there from the border. Vice President Harris blames Republican governors for the illegal immigration crisis. She calls their actions,
frankly, a dereliction of duty when you are an elected leader to play those kinds of games with human life. Doing it for the sake of a headline is irresponsible and it's inhumane.
More than 2 million illegal immigrants have tried to cross the border under President Biden's watch. Nicole Roulette runs a rescue mission in El Paso, Texas.
We have reached overcapacity. With the migrant situation, it's hard to tell them, hey, we don't have beds right now. I know we're still expected to get more, so I feel like there's a storm coming.
A storm is coming, she says. Florida congressional candidate Corey Mills says the storm is already here.
This is not just immigrants and refugees. Venezuela is now dumping their prisoners with some of the most violent and ruthless criminals. And these are the people that we are busing and flying into every single city. We must understand that under the Democrat regime, every single city is now a border state.
Mexican drug cartels, meantime, are now giving color-coded four-digit bracelets to migrants that cross the border. It's so they can keep tabs on those who come to America illegally. Alabama gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams claims a six-week fetal heartbeat is manufactured sound. Nicole Sapphire is a medical doctor and Fox News contributor.
This was a flat-out lie, and facts matter. And I think that she needs to be held accountable for the lies that are coming out of her mouth.
Abrams says the fetal heartbeat is made up to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body. Christians are bashing California Governor Gavin Newsom for quoting scripture on pro-abortion billboards. The giant signs contain a verse from the book of Matthew that reads, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Newsom paid to put the billboards up in red states like Texas, Oklahoma, and Indiana. Those billboards hail California as an abortion sanctuary. One priest calls it the worst distortion of scripture that he has ever seen. Fiona has staying power. After cutting up the Caribbean, Hurricane Fiona now battering Bermuda with an eye on Canada this weekend. It could be a doozy of a storm by the time it strikes our neighbor to the north. The Weather Channel's Chris Warren.
It is possible this could be a historic storm for Canada.
The mayor of Halifax says Fiona will, quote, slap us in the face, end quote. It's expected to make landfall tomorrow in Nova Scotia. Earlier today, the Cat 3 hurricane created 50-foot waves off the coast of Bermuda. Forecaster Robert Ray.
This is not a rainmaker here in Bermuda like we saw in Puerto Rico, thankfully. This is more of a wind machine.
Another potential hurricane's developing in the Caribbean that could pose a danger to the U.S. mainland next week. Early forecast models have Hermine gaining hurricane strength and approaching the Gulf of Mexico by the middle part of next week. Now to Russia, where there's growing unrest over Vladimir Putin's plan to call up more soldiers in the fight against Ukraine.
Moscow is looking to recruit 300,000 new soldiers to reverse recent and heavy losses in eastern Ukraine. But many Russians want no part of this war. Human rights groups say around 1,200 protesters have been arrested and given draft cards.
Correspondent Richard Engel says the mobilization is the first for Russia since World War II. Today is voting day in four parts of Ukraine that are currently controlled by Russia. Voters deciding a referendum on whether to become part of Russia permanently. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby calls the vote a sham.
This is nothing more than a ploy by Vladimir Putin to try to gain through some legitimacy through politics and electoral issues that which he cannot gain militarily.
Voting on the Kremlin-orchestrated referendums will continue through the early part of next week. In Iran, women have had it with strict Sharia law.
Taking off their head coverings and waving them in the air, this is defiance in Iran. And women are leading the charge. Some are even burning their hijabs. Sparked by the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, police allege she suffered a heart attack after being arrested for wearing an improper hijab. Critics believe she was beaten, saying her body was bruised and bleeding. Some women are cutting their hair in front of clapping crowds in solidarity. Authorities are cracking down, in some cases, with lethal force. Sanam Vakil is an expert in Iranian policy.
People are just fed up. This is a generation of Iranians that are pushing back.
That is reporter Rainey Innocencia in Tehran. And still to come on the Noon Report for Friday, new poll out on the Pennsylvania governor's race. Zeldin calls Hochul's debate offer ridiculous. And get ready to pay through the nose to keep warm this winter.
Well, good afternoon. It is the first full day of official fall, and certainly looking and feeling the part in our area. I'll talk about that and have the weekend forecast coming up. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All right, see you then. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the stories making news all across New York and Pennsylvania. A new Muhlenberg College morning call survey shows Democrat Josh Shapiro with a double-digit lead over Doug Mastriano in the Pennsylvania governor's race. Shapiro holds an 11-point advantage, according to the poll. Mastriano will be in Gailton next week as part of his promise to visit every county in Pennsylvania before Election Day. The state senator plans a stop at Larry's Sports Center around noontime next Wednesday, September 28th. After weeks of calling Kathy Hochul scaredy cat for not committing to a debate, Republican rival Lee Zeldin is now threatening to pull out of the one and only debate that the governor's offered to do. That story from Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Zeldin says the October 25th debate at Pace University in Westchester County is too late in the election season, not broadcast to a wide enough audience, and doesn't offer enough time to discuss all the issues. If the debate does happen, it would come just 2 weeks before the November 8th election and 4 days prior to early voting. Zeldin has called for multiple debates all across New York. He adds 1 hour is not nearly enough time to talk about all that ails New York. The October 25th debate will be broadcast on Spectrum News to media outlets statewide, including the Southern Tier, Rochester, Buffalo, and Central New York. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Governor Hochul is urging the state's 19 million residents to prepare themselves now for higher heating bills this winter. Those heating bills could exceed $1,000. Karen Merkel with National Fuel.
It will be significantly higher this winter heating season, which are the months of November through March.
Those who are worried about their heating bills can apply for help through the Home Energy Assistance Program. New York GOP leaders are calling on the governor to petition the president for an emergency declaration over the influx of illegal immigrants coming into New York.
As a New Yorker, I don't want to be on the hook for Joe Biden's failures. I would hope Kathy Hochul is saying the same thing.
City Council Member Joe Borelli, State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort says local governments are bearing the brunt of the border crisis.
They have to sort of bear the burden, just as Texas, just as Arizona, just as many other states have to bear the impact of this failed federal immigration policy.
Over 13,000 illegal immigrants have been bused to New York from Texas, as we mentioned at the top of the broadcast. Tent cities are now popping up to house the asylum seekers. Erie County, New York residents who want their marijuana convictions expunged can find out how this weekend. Local prosecutors are holding a clinic tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Elam Christian Fellowship in Buffalo. Now, once a conviction is expunged, it no longer has to be disclosed when applying for things like housing or a job. Pennsylvania is expanding the income eligibility guidelines for food assistance. Family Life's Mark Webster.
Starting October 1st, Pennsylvania will increase the income threshold for all applicants to 200% of the federal poverty income guidelines under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly known as food stamps. The Pennsylvania Department of Human Services says the change will make more than 420,000 additional Pennsylvanians newly eligible for SNAP, and they'll receive on average $63 a month. Updates to the SNAP program were announced Thursday as part of Pennsylvania's recognition of Hunger Action Month. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
Thank you, Mark. The female inmate population in Pennsylvania has grown by almost 20% the past 50 years. Now lawmakers in Harrisburg are pushing for reforms to make life behind bars easier for women. This includes a ban on shackling pregnant women, no more solitary confinement for pregnant women or postpartum mothers, as well as visitation rights for children. Buffalo, New York plans to pay parents to drive their kids to school. The school board signed off on the pilot program this week. Board member Larry Scott was a no vote.
If we essentially end up just paying those that are already doing it now, it's not going to make any impact on freeing up buses and drivers to transport our children.
Starting in mid-November, Buffalo plans to pay 1,500 parents 62 cents a mile to drive their children to school because of the chronic shortage of school bus drivers. Missing cats in Painted Post, New York. Several felines have disappeared in recent days.
Our cat went missing, and once word got out that Max was missing, we started to learn that there were a few other neighbors that were also missing cats of their own.
That's Brittany Elsie, and she tells WENY-TV that her cat, Max, was eventually found, but many others are still unaccounted for. They're in Painted Post.
People started to come out and say, oh my goodness, like, I'm missing a cat too, and I only live a couple doors down, or I live across the street, and I'm also missing a cat, and one of my neighbors was missing two cats.
Painted Post police say they've received complaints from about a half dozen people on missing cats in the West High Street area, not far from the middle school there in Painted Post, New York. Let's pause, check sports next. It's the midday edition on the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the New York Yankees are in the playoffs for the sixth straight season. New York is going to the postseason, nailing down a spot after walking it off against Boston yesterday. Josh Donaldson, a game-winning RBI single in the 10th, did it. Giancarlo Stanton, his 28th home run on the season. And Aaron Judge, he went 0-for-2 with three walks. So he is still sitting on 60, looking to hit 61 and 62. And it'd be kind of neat if he did it against Boston. They're in town again tonight for another game. Elsewhere in the American League, Texas 5, the Angels 3, KC over Minnesota 4-1, Oakland falls to Seattle 9-5, Tampa Bay doubling up Toronto 10-5, Baltimore shuts out Houston 2-0, and Cleveland doubled up Chicago 4-2. Matt Vierling drove in the only run of the game in Philadelphia yesterday, and the Phils edged the Braves 1-0. The Cubs handed the Pirates their seventh straight loss 3-2, Dodgers squeaked past Arizona 3-2. The Brewers down the Reds 5-1. San Francisco shut out Colorado 3-0. And St. Louis got a granny from Brandon Donovan and won 5-4 over San Diego. football. Nick Chubb rushed for 113 yards and a touchdown, and the Browns beat the Steelers 29-17. Jacoby Brissett passed for 220 yards and two scores, with Amari Cooper catching seven of his passes for 101 of those yards and a touchdown. First place going to be on the line in the AFC East on Sunday in Miami. The Bills and Dolphins both 2-0. The Jets are hosting the Bengals, and the Eagles will be in Washington. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy, man. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Still to come on the Noon Report, the Capital Connection crew is cocked, locked, and ready to rock. Bringing health care to the people in Allegheny County, New York, at a cool start to your first weekend of fall. Kevin Williams, after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. A mortal affliction now affects much of America's heartland. Known as deaths of despair, both the Rust Belt and Appalachia have seen incredible spikes in rates of addiction, overdoses, violence, and suicide. In addition to the thousands who die each year from various forms of self-harm, thousands more live golem-like lives, trapped by their chemical chains and in loneliness. It's a complex situation. While we must never diminish anyone's moral agency, the downward paths were paved, lined, and greased by a number of cultural factors. Beth Macy, the author of the book Dope Sick, has documented the lethal partnership between doctors, drug companies, and government oversight agencies, which inflicted this plague of highly addictive opioids on some of America's poorest areas of the country. A new recent study, however, points to an additional complexity: the decline of religion. According to the study's authors, there's some correlation between the end of so-called blue laws and the opioid epidemic. In certain parts of the country, blue laws have long limited the range of activities that were allowed on Sundays in respect of the Sabbath. Certain businesses were not allowed to open. Certain things, like alcohol, could not be sold. Though these laws continue in certain areas, particularly in Europe, they began to disappear in parts of the United States as the 20th century wore on, to the point that they're now few and far between. Of course, a significant culture-wide phenomenon like the opioid crisis could never be reduced to something as simplistic as to whether or not people can shop on Sundays. So, rather than claiming that the end of blue laws created the opioid crisis, they use the end of blue laws as a sort of marker, one to track the decline in American religiosity. The diminishing connections to faith within communities across the country, especially in those areas where they were once so strong, is among the many factors that have contributed to our nation's chemical plague. In other words, blue laws are a kind of canary in the coal mine, marking when we've crossed a dangerous line. So what we need to ask is, in a mix of Friedrich Nietzsche and REM, is what is the cost of losing our religion? As much as we might prize our individualism, particularly here in America, human beings simply aren't just dust motes of consciousness floating on the air currents of life. We're deeply connected, not just to one another, but to a host of other elements through relationships that give us meaning, identity, direction, and hope. To be healthy, both as individuals or as communities, those relationships, upward with God, inward with ourselves, outward with others, and downward with creation, they have to be strong. Human beings need a connection to something beyond ourselves, something higher, transcendent, in order to find ourselves, to know who and what and where we are, to be sure of our identity. We also need connections with one another, especially the essential links of family and friendship, in order to find ourselves accountable, supported, and complete. And we need proper connection to the physical world around us, too, to be tethered to reality through things like meaningful labor, a place to call home, some part of the world that we can call mine. By abandoning religion, specifically the Christianity which once provided meaning to these now missing relationships, the essential connection between individuals and communities and a higher purpose has been lost. Blue laws didn't hold off the effects of substance abuse, but the religious impulse that such laws represented were part of a way of seeing life in the world, one in which we weren't just reduced to being cogs or animals or sexual expressions. To the Christianity that the world has rejected is what offers the hope that the world so desperately needs right now. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Dr. Timothy Padgett. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, visit us at colsoncenter.org.
The weekend is here. Kevin Williams is near.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call in detail for this afternoon. Very cool. We'll have sunshine, some patchy clouds, and an isolated lake effect rain shower in a few spots southeast of Lake Ontario. High temperatures ranging mainly in the 50s. It'll be chilly tonight. Mainly clear. Low temperatures mostly 40s. A few twin-tier rural valleys, though, will slip into the 30s. Now for tomorrow, sunshine, then a few clouds later in the day, but a nice crisp day, high in the 60s. Sunday turns out cloudy with showers and high temperatures in the 60s.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you very much. It is Friday, folks, the 23rd of September, and you're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Gear at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Gentlemen, start your engines. We have a lot of places to go today. Michael, we'll begin with you. The first March for Life since the overthrow of Roe. It happened back on Monday in Harrisburg. How pleased were you with the turnout, and how motivated are pro-lifers with just a little under 2 months to go here before the midterms?
Well, it was a great turnout. We had more than 5,000, approaching 6,000. And these were people that came on buses and in cars and maybe trains and planes and automobiles from all over the state of Pennsylvania to be a voice for the voiceless. And even Governor Wolf, as he did last year, tweeted against the march as it was going on. He said that this was a bunch of people who were forced birth advocates. Planned Parenthood and ACLU had a long-planned rally the next day. They wanted to do a counter-rally to the March for Life, and they had less than 100 people show up. So we had about 6,000. That shows me that there's great momentum here in Pennsylvania for the sanctity of life.
Yeah, and a lot of media that were calling hundreds of people showed up, and I had, I think it was a little more than hundreds, but there's the inherent bias right there. Jason, you're talking about the sanctity of human life on your website this week. We encourage folks to go and read this article. It has to do with paid surrogacy. This is an issue that's been around since the days of Andrew Cuomo, but there's new research on that today. What is it, and why is paid surrogacy so dangerous?
Yeah, back in 2020, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a contractual surrogacy bill here in the state of New York, and we oppose that, and for good reason, as research now from the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network shows that there is a negative impact for women who carry babies through surrogacy as opposed to a normal pregnancy process. Surrogate mothers, for example, are three times more likely than other moms to undergo C-sections. There's a lot of concerns with surrogacy, and yet it does seem to be increasing in its use across our state and the nation.
All right, we'll give the website for that article at the end. Michael, the Oz Fetterman debate is on October 25th in Harrisburg. Dr. Oz says that's too late in the game here. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Dr. Oz has a point. I mean, and even the Washington Post editorialized about John Fetterman skipping out on these debates and avoiding it because of his health conditions. They said if he has health conditions that are preventing it, the public needs to know that. The public needs to know where he stands on the issues. And again, this is the liberal Washington Post talking about one of the most progressive candidates in the country, and John Fetterman.
Yeah, that one's getting closer by the day. A lot of folks going to be watching this. Jason, this has always kind of ground my gears. I never understood why liberal lawmakers are allowed to speak at churches about political issues. Governor Hochul spoke on gun control at a church in Buffalo over the weekend. How do they get away with what many have called pulpiteering?
Yeah, it was interesting reading some news that came out last week regarding the governors speaking at an African-American church in Buffalo, New York. And some of the responses from the congregants was just, hey, this is normal. It's been a part of the history of the black church. I'm not opposed to the governor speaking at that church or any other church, but I am opposed to using the pulpit for political purposes as she does. Rather, I would rather see pastors preach and proclaim the gospel and the whole counsel of God's word speaking to the issues of the day that our candidates are confronting. Remember, these were first biblical issues before the current culture made them political.
Yeah, would Lee Zeldin gotten away with that if he had spoken at a church on gun control?
No, he'd be blasted for daring to speak about that topic or any other, frankly, for being in a church. But that shouldn't scare pastors from speaking to the issues of the day. There are so many things that need to be addressed. But yes, there is a media bias when it is Governor Hochul speaking to a congregation versus a Republican candidate.
Gotcha. We'll get back to Hochul in a minute. She had a big phone call with the White House this week. But first, Michael, parental bill of rights introduced by Representative Stephanie Borowitz this week. Very akin to what Florida did as far as what schools would be allowed to teach regarding gender ideology and the like. Why would a parental bill of rights be necessary in Pennsylvania public schools?
Well, this goes back to the COVID shutdowns and parents seeing through the virtual classrooms just what is happening in the school buildings. And parents have said, hey, wait a minute, you know, we're seeing what would be described by many as pornographic or obscene materials that are being presented to kids. And so the notion of putting a law together that gives parents the ability to see more and understand more about what their kids are presented with and do something about it, we think is a good policy.
Yeah, 13,000, we're told, around 13,000 migrants from Central America have now been bused to New York City from Texas. Just a small taste of what Texas is going through every day. This has really become something of a firestorm in daily news coverage, Jason, so much so that the governor had a conference call with the White House this week. Does the governor have a point to try to call in the feds here to help out?
Well, I don't think the governor does have a point. New York City has declared itself a sanctuary state for illegal immigration. And I did not hear the governor complaining when there were the 2 a.m. flights flying into Westchester County, bringing people into New York State that were here illegally. That has been happening under the Biden administration. No concern there. But when Governor DeSantis flies people to the state, all of a sudden now he's drawing attention to the issue, and the governor has a problem with it. We do have a problem with illegal immigration, but it is not flights that are the problem, wherever they're going right now. It is a problem that needs to be addressed, and Governor DeSantis should be applauded for actually bringing attention to this issue.
Okay, Michael, Pennsylvania was the poster child in 2020 for how not to conduct an election. Has anything changed going into 2022?
Well, some things have changed. Not, in my view, enough has changed, but at least it's getting better. I mean, the Republican legislature has passed a lot of bills only to be vetoed by Governor Wolf, bills that would have cleaned up things. But some of the good things that were done by the Republicans that ended up in a budget deal is they're requiring that votes be counted the same day that they were cast so that they can't do the midnight stoppage that happened in places like Philadelphia and elsewhere where suddenly the voting count stopped in the middle of the evening and then next morning is when they started up again. That won't happen again.
Yeah. Starting October 5th, Jason, patients and caregivers will be able to grow marijuana at home. The New York State Cannabis Control Board signing off on this. For those who want to use pot for recreational purposes, your day is coming too. Our question is, with fentanyl being such an issue, you've got people killing themselves in record numbers, depression in record numbers, and just the drug crisis overall. Why is New York State doing this now?
Well, dollars talk, and you know, there's a lot of money coming in from the cannabis, the marijuana industry that were lining campaign accounts, and it had an impact. You know, I know some years ago when we now legalized medical marijuana, it kind of softened the runway for the takeoff of recreational marijuana. And here we are.
Mm. Well, Michael, your Friends of the Family banquet is fast approaching Saturday, October 22nd in beautiful Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about who your guest speaker is this year. I have a feeling maybe one or two of our listeners might know who he is.
Yeah, we're excited that our keynote speaker will be former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. What's notable, and I've met Mike Pompeo and heard him speak before, is that for probably a couple of decades at least, he taught fifth grade Sunday school at his church back in his home state of Kansas,
wow,
even when he was a member of Congress. So he's a solid Christian, wonderful family man, and really extols the virtue of the family and the need to build up the family. So we're excited to have Mike Pompeo coming.
All right, we'll get that website so folks can get registered for that coming up. Jason, before we go, I know your Bills are hot, 2-0 on the season. Don't ever miss a game, but every time you watch a football game on television right now, Jason, and I know you've seen this too, you're just inundated with those ads for mobile sports betting. How is this fueling gambling addiction?
Well, you know, the studies indicate that the greatest group that is struggling in this issue of the sports gambling are those young men. And the anonymity of mobile sports gambling is causing an epidemic of gambling addiction. But once again, the state of New York and 20 other states across the nation saw the campaign dollars and the dollars in revenue for their state be sold out to citizens of their state. It's a problem.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. So many places to go. But hey, get registered for that Friends of the Family banquet with Mike Pompeo. That's going to fill up fast. Michael, where can folks go to do that?
PAfamily.org.
And read that article about paid surrogacy and the dangers in that. Jason, that's on your website along with a lot of other stuff. Where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
It's the fastest 10 minutes in radio. Capital Connection comes your way Fridays during the noon report. You can also catch it online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the calendar says we're now in fall, and it certainly looks and feels it out there this afternoon. The good news, though, high pressure is set to deliver sunshine to start the weekend, but the weekend ends cloudy and wet with a disturbance arriving. Our call in detail for this afternoon. Very cool. Love sunshine, some patchy clouds, and an isolated lake effect rain shower in a few spots southeast of Lake Ontario. High temperatures ranging mainly in the 50s. It'll be chilly tonight, mainly clear. Low temperatures mostly 40s. A few twin-tier rural valleys, though, will slip into the 30s. Now for tomorrow, sunshine, then a few clouds later in the day, but a nice crisp day, high in the 60s. Sunday turns out cloudy with showers and high temperatures in the 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Finally, at noon today, rural health care. Allegheny County, New York, is one of the most underserved counties in the entire state when it comes to access to health care. And that's why officials there are taking health care on the road directly to the people. It's called Remote Medical Access, and Audra Fitzgerald is the coordinator.
This weekend, we're going to be in Belmont, New York, at the Genesee Valley Central School. We'll be offering free medical, dental, and vision services to anyone who needs it, no ID or questions asked.
How about that? Fitzgerald says they've set up shop in the school parking lot, and it's a first-come, first-serve sort of deal. The free healthcare clinic will be operational tomorrow and Sunday, and the parking lot will open up at midnight tonight there in Belmont, New York. New York. That's the world we live in. Friday, the 23rd of September. Enjoy that first weekend of fall, folks. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.